You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the most dramatic podcast ever. I'm Chris Harrison. Welcome here to what we will affectionately call Studio A, the home office in Austin, Texas. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself on your journey, you are welcome here. And I just want to say thank you. I want to start off by saying thank you for the response to the first episode. And I hope you have listened to episode one. If you have not, I recommend you hit the pause button, step back, watch episode one, listen to it, take it in. I think the connective tissue to these two episodes is very important and vital to get the feel and the vibe of everything I said in episode one leading into this one. I also want to say thank you to the response. I should have said this in the first episode, but no joke, it was a very emotional moment to get all of that out. And so I missed a few things. And one I wanted to say was thank you. The response to the trailer that we dropped, we announced this connection, this partnership with iHeartRadio about a month ago in mid, early December. And this particular show, the most dramatic podcast ever that I would be hosting. And the response from you was incredible. And I was blown away and I was so touched. And it's never lost on me how amazing all of you are. And how loving, and I'm sure curious, intrigued by all of this. But to make the trailer of the show the number four podcast in all podcasts and number one in its category was overwhelming. And I just want to say thank you. I am so appreciative. And I can't wait to see the response to these first two episodes that we are dropping together. And just to give you a little logistics, Lauren and I flew out to San Francisco. That's where we actually recorded the first one, just so I could be with the team, the iHeartRadio team. And then now we are back home in our beautiful home in Austin, Texas, where Lauren and I have set up shop and made our life. And speaking of, Lauren Zima is going to be joining us just a little bit later. But beyond the response to the trailer, one thing I didn't touch on in episode one is the response from everybody after everything went down. And there were several camps that I will touch on. I was moved by the crew. Many of the crew members that I've worked with for the better part of two decades reached out, a lot of them. I definitely won't name those names because I know a lot of them still work there and I don't want to create any weird tension for them, but I appreciate it. The other interesting thing about the show, and I've said this in interviews before, this family and friends that I made over the 19 years, and I'm talking about people that came on the show, they were either maybe The Bachelor or Bachelorette or cast members, and then after the show, often we would end up at events together, charity events, helping each other, supporting each other. They would often call me because, you know, being the bachelor, bachelorette is a little bit like being shot out of a cannon. All of a sudden you're just going 1,000 miles an hour and nothing has really prepared you from going from, you know, zero, your life and wherever you're living to, you know, red carpets and everything that's thrown at you. And so I tried to help and counsel as best I could when they would reach out and needed it. And that those relationships grew, and now these families have grown and we have children that have been born, and there's a lot of pride in that. And early on, a lot of those people reached out. Some spoke out, you know, like a Catherine and Sean, who I love and adore very much. You know, Ari and Lauren, Brad Womack. It's tough when you start naming names. It's like there's this, I could go for miles of Tristan Ryan and JP and Ashley and Jaden Tanner and JoJo and Jordan, who Lauren and I love so much, and Bob Guinea and Andrew Firestone, Ben and Ashley. I know they're not a couple, but you know, they do the podcast together, and they actually spoke very highly and glowingly of this announcement last month. And I appreciate Ben and Ashley very much. And Andy Dorfman, I'm so happy she's found love. And Sarah Heron, who's going to be a mom, and Leslie Murphy, who is a mom, and Tenley, who is, and so, you know, and even a guy like Jake Pavelka reached out, the guy who helped me coin the phrase, everything is about to change. Raven and Adam up there, Chris Soules, the miracle man, Eric Beeger, got to mention him. One of my favorite human beings to come through the show, that spirit. He and I have had some great conversations since all of this went down, and I appreciate it. And even those that were critical early on, I'm glad I've gotten to run into a lot of them. Mike Johnson was one who was very critical, outspoken as soon as this happened, and understandably so. And we ran into each other, ironically, in Vegas at an iHeart event, and gave each other a big hug, had nothing but love. And he, I very much appreciate, he reached out to me while we were sitting there and spending time together and just thanked me for being kind of that big brother and always being there for him. And it was good to not necessarily make amends because we never got sideways, but just to reconnect. And, you know, Nick Viall was another one who, Nick wasn't really strongly against me or said anything, but, you know, I think Nick was one of those among many who probably saw the blood in the water and saw the opportunity of a job that would be really phenomenal. And I no doubt he wanted that job. And, but we saw each other at Wells and Sarah's wedding and gave each other a big hug. Saw Chris Soules there too. It was good to see Chris. And speaking of Wells and Sarah's wedding, which was phenomenal, a few Bachelor people, a lot of Modern Family people. Wells has always been first of all, he's a good man. He's a very good man and a good friend of mine. He'll never beat me on the golf course, but that's beside the point. Wells was in a very difficult situation because obviously he was still kind of connected to the show and he was doing stuff on Paradise, but he was one of the first to reach out to me and just said, hey, look, I'm staying out of this. You know, I love you, respect you. And I appreciated that. I appreciated him because if anybody had sights on the job, it easily was Wells, and deservedly so, by the way. I thought, to be completely candid, that Wells was going to get the job. I thought that was kind of the easiest call since Ken Jennings got the Jeopardy job. He's in the family. Everybody loves him. It just seemed like a layup, but that's not how it went down. I even told him, I said, hey, man, I won't speak out publicly because I don't think that'll help you at all. In fact, it would do a lot more harm than good, but I really hope you get the job. I think you'd be great at it. Just appreciate him and so many others that have reached out to me since that's happened, since I announced I was doing this podcast. It really has been heartwarming, and it's been a wonderful connection for all of us to get back together. There were a lot of others that reached out too that I found interesting, whether it was celebrities, athletes, a late night host I really appreciated it. And it was just private text messages or phone calls. And it helped as Lauren and I were navigating this. And speaking of, I think it's time for our first guest. The first guest ever in the history of the Most Dramatic Podcast ever. And it has to be the one and only Lauren Zima. This podcast is all about relationships. This is the most important relationship in my life. And she was the only person with me 24/7 every step of the way during this. So when we return, Lauren and I are going to talk about our experience and how this affected our relationship. That's next.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Most Dramatic Podcast Ever with Chris Harrison. And I am here to welcome my very first guest. And it had to be this woman. Three-time Emmy winner. Don't laugh at that.
I haven't done a podcast in a while.
Well, might as well do this one. On a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. 1 being the best, that is a day of organizing at the house, just watching Housewives. That's number one. 10 would be having to go to 10 football games. So that's the scale, Housewives to football.
So 10 is bad.
Scale of 1 to 10. Uh-huh. How excited are you to sit down and have this conversation?
I'm very excited to sit down and have the conversation, but I'm also very, I would say that my nerves are at probably a 10. My hands are so sweaty right now. because this, you know, you and I have so rarely done something like this where whenever we're in a situation like this, it's happened a few times. It's always who's the interviewer and who's the interviewee. And we lose that a little bit because we both do it for a living. So sometimes we have a bit of a hard time finding our rhythm in these moments because we don't know. It's like dancing when you don't know who's leading.
I would agree with that. I will say I'm guessing you as a listener have never had the opportunity to interview an interviewee. I'm probably a little more adept at it because I had to
at interviewing?
No, being interviewed, like turning the tables.
That's true.
Yes, I am usually in control of the moment when I'm hosting and whatever, but I've had the moment turned on me many of time in interviews, and that's how we actually met, was you interviewing me. And that's one of the things I fell in love with immediately, was how brilliant you were and what an amazing journalist and how good you were. And then there was the rest. But I know you have a tough time being interviewed.
I do. I don't. I'm so used to, I was at Entertainment Tonight for, I think, almost 8 years. And before that, I was just at other, so I don't know, I've been a journalist for well over a decade, and I've probably been interviewed myself less than 5 times. So yeah, I'm used to asking all the questions. When I was dating, I would always joke that, like, I would go on a really bad date in my mind, but the person would think it went really well, but that was just because I asked them a million questions because I'm in interview mode. And then my friends really joke with me that when, you know, they ask me, how are you? I always say, I'm fine. I'm good. How are you? And I turn it back around on them. So I do sort of have a hard time talking about myself and being interviewed. And that's why my palms are dripping. Also, I sound so horrible. I'm so sorry, everybody. Yeah. I'm kind of sick. I've been sick for a week. I've tested negative for COVID 4 times, but I just have a very bad, you know, sinus infection. So blessings on this holiday season of illness and viral moments.
You still look beautiful.
Thank you.
And you sound amazing.
We haven't kissed in a week.
And I appreciate, I appreciate that. No, I appreciate you sitting down. And this is something I know that we have talked, obviously, a lot about everything. Mm-hmm. But one thing we really don't ever get into is how each other felt separately going through all this. And one of the most painful things I said in episode one was affecting you and how this affected you. And that was easily one of the toughest things for me to watch. What was the effect on you initially?
I think the hardest part was understanding it, because I didn't feel like I was watching you. I know that wasn't you. In that interview, I know that it wasn't the way you felt. What was being perceived was not how you felt in your heart. And I knew that. And so I was also just mad, because I thought, how could you do this? How could you be so messy? How could you not see how you were sounding? But what I quickly realized is that everybody makes mistakes. And to me, the most, including myself many times, obviously, and to me, the most important thing about a human is what their intention is and how they react after they make a mistake. And I knew that your intention in that interview was in no way malicious. I knew that your intention was to protect Matt at the time, the Bachelor. And after it happened, you were immediately so apologetic and so heartbroken, and you wanted to make everything right. So the hardest part is watching somebody who you love be in so much pain and knowing that you can't fix it, that there's nothing you can do. And we tried in so many ways to fix everything. But that was the hardest part about it all for me. That was a very long answer.
But a good one.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I think one thing that is good to see and explain in a relationship, when people could see us or think about us, it's just this, you know, you never know what's going on inside someone's house. And this was not an easy thing to go through. We had just gone through the pandemic, like everybody, and we became one of those pandemic couples of like, well, be together or break up. You're either living together or you're...
We were never thinking about breaking
no,
up.
No. I mean, during the pandemic,
yes.
You know, I think a lot of people, you had to quarantine together or not. And so we were one of those couples that definitely in the pandemic, we quarantined together, we moved in together. And so we had just gone through...
It definitely accelerated our relationship.
Yeah. And so we went through that stressful time right into this, which was, you thought the pandemic was stressful. This was, you know, tenfold. And so I don't ever want to give people the impression that you and I just breeze through this. It was very difficult. And yeah, we had arguments. We battled. Lauren comes from a long line of lawyers, so they love to debate. They're very honest. But I appreciated that, and I needed that, because I think far too often you end up in an echo chamber, and that's how you get in trouble, is you just surround yourself mm-hmm. by yes men, yes women, who just say exactly what you want to hear.
But I have so many regrets about how I advised you at that time. I mean, I don't know if I could have, I don't think I could have done a better job, because for me, you know, you'd been famous for almost 20 years, you know, 15 years at least when we first started dating. I worked at Entertainment Tonight. Some people knew me from my Bachelor recap show, Roses and Rosé, that I started. But I was not on the same level by any means. And I'd certainly never been through any type of scandal. So it was all very new to me. And it was a trial by fire of this unprecedented time in all of our lives, the stress of that. And this added, so I don't think I could have done a better job in advising you. I was just doing the best I could with the information I had at the time. But I do have regrets about some of the things that I suggested, or the sounding board that I was at the time.
What, anything in particular?
You talked about asking your brother to take that letter down. I know that I advised you to have him take it down. I was coming from a place of worrying about what it would do to him, and I didn't want any, I mean, you know, I've said this to friends. This was not the saddest thing I've ever been through in my life. I lost my dad when I was 22. My sister was 19. My brother was 14. That was really hard. It ripped my family apart, and it changed me forever as a person. But this was the most stressful thing I've ever been through, for sure. I also have the perspective of, at the end of the day, I believe that if everybody you love is healthy, then you are blessed. And we had well more than a roof over our heads. Like, we were okay. So I kept that perspective throughout everything. But it wasn't easy to have people DMing you to, or me, to die, to kill ourselves, to that we're horrible, to... you know, that was all really hard, and I was worried about that coming for your brother. So but then to hear, you know, you say that you felt like asking him to take that down fundamentally affected you and made you question yourself, is hard to hear. I look back on the statement that I put out at the time, and I wish I'd done it differently. There was a longer version of it where I said, I know who Chris, something like, I know who Chris is as a person. And I know that he, you know, did not mean to come across that way. Or I can't remember exactly what I said, but there was a longer version where I defended you more. And I was advised, you talked a lot about being advised. I was advised, cut that out. Like, keep it shorter, just keep it short. You have to release a statement, so just get it out and like keep it short, because that's going to be better. It'll create less problems.
And I was a part of that conversation.
Yeah, but I wish I hadn't.
I know. And I know that, and I knew that, but also you said something that I firmly believe, and you and I say this all the time. You can only make the best decision in the moment with what you know in that moment and how you felt. And we were making split second decisions.
But I do think one takeaway I have from all this, one thing I've learned, is that you're not going to make everybody happy. I wish I'd read less comments. I wish I'd, you feel like you should be reading the comments and reading the coverage because you want to be aware of the situation. And also, you know, the viewers of the show were so important to you and to me too, that we wanted to make sure we were trying to do right by people and to make things right. So we were trying to listen to everybody, but that also kind of messes with your head. And especially it's that thing of, and I think everybody who's on social media knows this, you can hear 10 nice things, but if one person tells you you're horrible or tells you to harm yourself, that hits you a lot harder. So I wish that I hadn't listened to that as much, because I maybe would have thought a bit clearer. And the big takeaway is that you have to feel good. You have to feel good about who you are, and you have to think, years from now, am I going to feel like what I did represented the person I want to be? Mm-hmm. So that was what I learned. I don't think that that statement was full enough to represent who I am. And so I wish I'd left those extra bits in, no matter what ended up getting said. Because like I said, you're not going to make everybody happy.
No, if you try and please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody.
No, we all see that all the time. I mean, a mom could post a photo with her new baby and somebody's going to say, but where are your other kids? And right. Then she could post a photo with her other kids and somebody will say, God, you're really exploiting your children. So there's nothing you can do to fully satisfy all.
Just announcing this podcast, didn't even really say anything. Announcing this podcast a month ago, there was people that had something to say, right? Because you have to. Because what is the use of an article that says, hey, I'm really excited about this. I'm curious to hear what he's going to say. You're never going to see that article in a tabloid or on a podcast or whatever. Well, that's not true. Like Ben and Ashley and people like that who are actually good people, like would go
there.
But
it's not what catches fire
right,
as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not the clickbait. It's not whatever. And so, you know, the vocal kind of minority that you see on social media or whatever, it's easier said than done to ignore that and let it go, because the majority of, like, once we announce this and the people that the outpouring of love and support, and, you know, as you've traveled around, we've traveled together and so many people come up to us and we love that. And honestly, they usually push me aside just to get to Lauren Zima, and I get that.
but no, they don't. And
we've loved that. And it meant a lot.
Well, one of the first things I saw when we started dating, you told me very early on, because people might come up to you and ask for a photo when we were having dinner. I remember you telling me, I always take the time for every person who comes up to me because I owe all of my success to these people. And you care about the fans and the viewers so much. You know, I in part say that to say that was what made all this so hard, as you talked about in the first episode, was how much you love everybody.
And you and I trying to figure out what was the best way to go about reaching those people. And that's what was so difficult. We didn't have this podcast. I wish, you know, good or bad, I think there is this new model that I saw, and it's not whether you agree with them or not, it's just what I saw when, whether it was Joe Rogan or Dave Chappelle, speak out when they were going through similar type things publicly, they had a platform. And I saw that and I was like, damn, I wish I could rewind 6 months. This is what I would have done. I would have sat down here with you and with you at home to have this conversation and to be able just to speak to you directly, because you're the ones I care about. You're the ones that matter.
Well, I think you were caught in a perfect storm for going through a moment where you made a mistake. And by that, I mean, you know, when somebody who has their own podcast or their own show does it, they can take ownership of that. They can speak out. I mean, especially if they own that property. We were both advised to stay quiet. You were told to stay quiet. and what's so hard about that is, first of all, it's not genuine. You know, people were used to you talking to them. And so that made the whole thing even worse and more jarring. But I think the hardest part is that while you might think it's the right thing to stay quiet, what ends up happening is that other people fill that silence. Other people speak for you. And I think that very much happened and created a snowball that kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger until it was an avalanche. And you were also caught up in the perfect storm of, like you said, people who wanted your job, who had podcasts of their own, though, where they could speak out every week. And the show still having so many episodes to air. So the conversation kept getting brought up and brought up and brought up. I've thought a lot about how, you know, somebody who might be an actor who does something, their movie comes out and maybe they say something bad in an interview, and then they can kind of go away for a while and come back and do another movie later. But this was being brought up over and over and over again. And I was on a nightly news show and we were covering it every night. And it made me look at my own industry very differently too. I was very much on the other side of it. This has also all reminded me of how much gray area there is. Like there, as you've said, there are people at the show who you still love so much. There are people at the show who are very problematic still. And for me, you know, I look now at, I always, when I was covering the show, I'm not saying I didn't try to find the dirt because I did. It's part of the whole machine. But I never wanted to, I mean, I always was running an article where I felt like it was well-sourced. I'd reported the truth. What I realized in seeing the coverage of this was that maybe, unfortunately, even when journalists might think they're reporting the truth, there are versions of the truth. It's not the whole truth. I remember I saw one source said that you were calling people begging for your job. And I know that that never happened. And I think maybe people see, maybe their source is an assistant who's heard half of a phone call from another room. And so the version that we get of the truth of what journalism is supposed to be, the first draft of history, gets pretty whittled and watered down. So well, that was,
and in
a
this day and
moment.
Age, that's all it takes, right? One article, somebody says something, someone can write an article, and then someone else can write it. And so by the third article, that journalist, and I hate to use that word in this particular instance, because they've done no work. They have not sourced anything, much less have three of them, but they don't even have one. Their source is another article. That's not journalism, by the way. You cannot do that, but they do. And it's what happens now. You'll see the same article just kind of be regurgitated over and over and over. And for you and I to remain silent when we saw a lot of people would, I mean, honestly, just flat out lie, and they wanted to insert themselves in this story, and they would talk about things they didn't know about, and you and I remained silent. We did not speak. This is the first time that you and I have spoken at all about this publicly. And that, as I said in episode one, was a difficult thing for me. And I imagine it was just as difficult for you.
Yes. And I guess what's coming to my mind right now is something I haven't ever talked about, but which was ending my recap show, Roses and Rosé, which was such a joy in my life for me. How I felt about my job changed a lot after I stopped that, because I realized that was really what I got so much happiness from. I wasn't ready to end that show. One thing in looking at the interview and in seeing how you've been in the past year and a half since it's all been over is I've realized how frustrated you were at work. You know, I can't really go back and watch that interview because it brings back so much, but I think one realization I've had is that people felt like, oh, is this a side of him I've just never seen? No. What that was it wasn't the truth of you. It was a very frustrated, burnt out, tired version of you. And you are so rarely that. Chris never gets mad. He doesn't really get sad. You are the person who's always trying to be strong for everyone around you. Sometimes to the point of some of our conflict comes from me saying, but how do you, like, tell me your emotions. How do you feel? Are you upset? I mean, you won't even tell me if you're sick. You're like, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like, are you? Cause you haven't gotten out of bed. No, I'm good. I'm like, okay. But I think in that interview, you'd been filming in quarantine. We'd had stretches of, I think, 3 months where I didn't see you, where you didn't see the kids. And some of that had been used against you. I think it was purposely leaked that you left quarantine to move your son into college. And I know that that hurt you, that it was kind of something that got weaponized against you, and you were just trying to be a good dad. I know you were so worried that this controversy was happening about around Rachel Kirkconnell, and you wanted her and Matt to not break up. You wanted Matt to be okay. You didn't want Matt to be going through all this. So all that frustration and exhaustion went into that interview. And I really saw that you were really tired of a lot. So there were many reasons that you were really frustrated going into that interview and being in that position again, where you had to defend the show, where no one was helping you defend the show. No network executives were out there speaking out. And there you were yet again. So I started going on all this because I think I saw a very burnt out version of you. Part of my frustration with you, though, was that I was mad that even though you were, you know, I don't think I realized at the time how burnt out you were, but I was mad that you messed up, in part because I wasn't quite as done yet. I was loving doing my show, Roses and Rosé. I was having fun. And when everything happened, I knew that I couldn't do that show anymore. Ultimately, the reason I decided not to do that show anymore, and I'm talking about it for the first time, and I feel so bad because I've gotten so many wonderful messages from people saying, I miss Roses and Rosé. I miss laughing with you every week. And oh my gosh, that was what I loved about it. Whether it was about The Bachelor or something else, I just loved laughing with people every week and connecting with them and having fun and feeling like maybe I gave them a bright spot in their week. That made me happier than anything. But ultimately, the reason I stopped doing that show, I wasn't told by my job that I had to stop doing it. I stopped because I could not live with myself covering the franchise like that anymore. I couldn't celebrate it in the same way, knowing everything that I know now.
Yeah. I know it was hard to find humor in it. And
it got
hard. We had talked about that before, long before actually any of this happened. You said it's getting harder and harder.
That's true.
To find the love and humor in it anymore.
It was getting harder to have fun with it. Yes.
Speaking of fun, let's take a quick break.
And come back and have fun.
We'll be back. More fun with Lauren Zima right after this.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the most dramatic podcast ever. I am sitting here with my beautiful fiance, Lauren Zima, and we have been talking for about the last half hour about
one of the worst times in our lives.
One of the worst times. What couple does this? This is like therapy in a really horrible way.
I can't believe you said before the break, we'll be back with more fun.
Yeah, let's just.
I'm not being very fun.
We should do this every night. We should sit down, open a bottle of wine, and just rehash all of this every night.
Look, I will say this just again from the bottom of my heart. I love you. And I do. Honestly, even in losing my dad, I see silver linings that came out of that. As much as it ripped my family and I apart, it made me closer with them. It made me a stronger person. It gave me perspective on life at a young age. And as hard as this has been, first of all, I understand that there are people, I feel grateful every night because there are people who have gone through so much worse than this. If whatever higher power there is said to me, do you want to go through all this again? Or do you want someone you love to be sick? Oh my gosh, I would take this a million times over. I'm fine with this. And a silver lining of it is that it really made me see your everything about who you are as a person. I mean, if you want a way to to know that you're with the right person, you go through something traumatic and you see who they are and how they step up and what they do, and that shows you their true worth.
No, this would have either broken a couple up or it brings you more together. Yeah. And I said in episode one, I love and adore you and admire you even more than I did before. And, you know, my grandmother, my late great Jewish grandmother, Mimi, always said to me, find somebody, surround yourself with people who are equal or better than you. Mm. And that's Lauren Zima.
Thank you for saying my last name every time. When we get married,
by the way, people always say, oh, people call you Chris Harrison. That actually does happen. I don't call Lauren Zima. I don't even call you Lauren. I call you LZ usually. So LZ.
I love my last name. And when we get married, I'm not changing it.
No, I'm changing mine. CZ. But it definitely brought us closer together because you will find out what people are made of in these moments in life. And that is a blessing. And as I said in episode one, it doesn't come in a beautiful little, box under the tree. It sometimes slaps you upside the head. And that's what it was for us. But the bond we built and how, and I know we both go back and said, oh, we could have done this. We could have done this. We should have done this. You know, you can play Monday morning quarterback all throughout your life. You especially do it in moments like this when everything is under a microscope on such a grand scale. And we do, you still go back. If you're a, intelligent person, you think back of like, I could have navigated this better. I could have done this. But at the end of the day, we made decisions together and we stuck with them. You know, for example, I quit watching TV. I quit reading stuff. I wasn't looking into that. You were the filter. You were dealing with it in Entertainment Tonight. And so you kind of let me know, hey, this person's speaking out about you, this person. And you kind of let me know what I needed to hear because it was drinking from a fire hydrant. And you were able to kind of brush that away and kind of help me drink from a water fountain, which was a lot more palatable. And so there were things that both of us did in any relationship. And again, this pod will move on. It will be fun. It's going to evolve into amazing things about relationships. And one thing you will always learn in a relationship is it's not always, no pun intended, fantasy suites and hot air balloon rides. It's tough. And you go through these moments and at times you are the weak one. At times you are the strength. At times you're carrying the weight of two. And at times you are, a mush and a mess. And so at times, all throughout the day, Lauren and I would switch those positions. You were the caretaker, and then you were this. And so we had to be there for each other. And it forced us to build a bond that is unbelievable. And I'm grateful for that. As you said, it's the silver lining.
But one thing I think made me fall in love with you even more was that you never, in all this, there were moments when I was worried about myself and my career. And like I said, I was mad at you. I don't think you were ever worried about yourself. I never heard you say, my career, my future. You were so upset with yourself, so beside yourself watching you not eat and not sleep was really hard. And again, because I couldn't fix it. But you were always worried about your family. I mean, maybe just being able to provide for everybody. And what I heard you say over and over again, and I think sometimes to your detriment, you didn't like worry about how you were coming across, is you were trying to do right by the show. And that was because you were worried about the crew, the producers, the, I don't know, 150 people who work on it. And you were so worried about the show staying alive because you didn't want any of those people who you knew and loved to be in any kind of financial jeopardy. So you were... now I'm thinking about the GMA interview.
We'll get there someday. But look, to your point,
you were putting the show above yourself, and that made me fall in love with you even more, because it was very hard to watch you be defined by this one thing. I don't think anybody, again, we're all going to make mistakes, and I don't think that anyone deserves to be, to have their entire life defined by one moment, especially when they're sorry and they messed up and they know it. If we don't have redemption, then what are we all doing? And I think the problem is that, you know, you were somebody who really, like, in terms of your personal life, stayed out of headlines for the most part over those 20 years. You know, there are celebrities who are constantly involved in scandals and drama, and then they like to stay in the headlines and it's part of their career. And you really didn't do that. And a lot of the good things you did as a journalist, I can tell you, don't make for very interesting headlines.
No. Hey, he's a dad who's coaching his kid's soccer team.
Right.
There's a good headline. The beauty of my life is that this doesn't define me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. If it defines me to you, that's on you. That's not on me. And my life, and this is what helped me leave the franchise and leave the show, is because I've never defined myself by that. Yeah. I was proud of it. It was something I did. It's something I spent a large part of my professional life building and doing. And that was awesome. But I've never define myself by that. I've always defined myself by what's important. And I preach this to my kids. I preach it to you. What's important? Who's important? You know, my family, my friends, my faith, the things that I lean on, the things that I truly care about. That is the character of a man or woman. That's what defines you. And so if you take away a job, and it was a profession, it was something, a career, I loved it. And I still love it. I love TV. I love producing. I love creating. So that part was neat. But you know, I didn't wake up and go, I'm Chris Harrison, Bachelor host. I would much more say I'm, you know, LZ's fiance and father of two and friend to many. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm proud of. And at the end of the day, I know when I'm lying on my deathbed, I'm not going to be thinking about rose ceremonies or anything I did on the show. I'll be, you know, hopefully surrounded by those that I love. I was going to say something crude there and I won't, but that had to do
and
with
I would
you.
Say to anybody, God, I know, you know, business is personal. Our jobs are personal, and because we're passionate about our careers, they take up a lot of our time. I mean, I know that the show,
especially when you're dealing with the arts, and this is kind of in that vein of your life is in it, right? Your heart's in that when you are a part of it.
It's more than a job. And the show for you was time away from your kids. I mean, one thing that's been, again, a silver lining about the past year and a half is you got to go to, you know, your daughter Taylor's senior musical. You'd never gotten to go to a play. You would have to go and watch a rehearsal. And, you know, that was how you'd like go see a rehearsal and get to see it. But, you know, when the actual show was, you were off filming. And I know you give everything to your kids and they love you so much and you're such a great dad, but your work was still time away from them. And so in the past year, to see you be able to go to Josh's lacrosse games when you want and go see Taylor's plays and go visit them at college has been
a blessing.
You're much happier to me.
One of the great things about being the host and being a part of that franchise for so long is when people come up to us, they'll have these amazing stories about the only time I talk to my, you know, mom or my daughter, or I connect with my dad is on Monday nights and we watch the show and we talk about it, or we call each other on Tuesday mornings. Lauren and I were just at the airport here in Austin and we were flying somewhere. I don't know where we were going. And she went off to get something and I was sitting there by myself and this guy came up to me. I kind of saw him, you know, staring at me. You kind of notice, you get that kind of weird radar. And he came up and he's like, you know, Chris Harrison, do you mind if I have a seat? I said, sure. You know, how you doing? And nice guy. And he tells me this story about, and I notice he has a picture of this girl on his shirt. And he says, hey, this is my daughter. And she just passed away. And just so you know, she was sick for quite some time. And on Monday nights, we would all gather and we would watch The Bachelor. And that was our connection. And that's how we escaped. And that's how she escaped. And it was a couple hours of sanity, escapism, and relief from what she was going through. And he said, I just want to thank you. And that was it. And I will end on this today, because if nothing else ever came from my silly job, this show, that is what I did it for. And I hear those stories all the time. And that's what touched me. And that's why I'm so grateful for all of you. And I'm grateful that you took the time to listen today. And I'm unbelievably grateful for this beautiful woman sitting next to me, Lauren Zima. I love you. Who has the Emmy, one of the three, sitting over her head. But I am so grateful. And thank you for sharing. I know this is something you have not been looking forward to. I appreciate your time and your love and your support. And for all of you, again, thank you. And next week, next episode, we're going to, this might be a big mistake. I want to hear from you, all of you. So leave your comments below on your podcast network. You can reach us on Instagram. The Most Dramatic Pod Ever is our handle, The Most Dramatic Pod Ever. You can reach me on my Instagram, as always. Leave me comments, questions, the good, the bad, the ugly. As I said before in this episode, this is not about sitting in an echo chamber. This is not about hearing your own voice and having your ideas repeated to you. That is not helpful. That's never been helpful. And I've never wanted that, nor should you. And so let's get into it. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time, because we have a lot more to talk about.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.